On this day, 25 years ago, 96 Liverpool football fans were crushed to death as they attended an FA Cup semi-final at Hillsborough Stadium in Sheffield.
Teams have just left the field here. The trouble away to our left, where there's a packed enclosure of Liverpool supporters. 2.5 minutes after the match started, they really came over the top of the fence. Police are trying desperately hard to hold them back, and at the moment, it is simple mayhem.
And you see them pressed up against the fence. I said, oh, Brucey, they're killing us. I'm thinking, who's killing who? Brucey, get some help, please. What can I do? I looked at this lot, put the ball down, kicked the ball up the field, have a look again. That was must be 3.5, 4 minutes. 3.5 minutes.
And there are fans climbing up from the terrace to try and get refuge in the seats now.
And you notice people getting lifted out from the back end into the main stand. Now there's a screaming, please do something, ask for some help.
Situation now seems to be becoming a lot more serious. An ambulance has just come into the stadium and it's making its way through a vast crowd of people away to the left. There would seem to be, from where I'm sitting here, dozens of people now lying on the ground and being attended to by police and St John's ambulance.
I was up that end, the Leppings Lane end, and there was a what I thought was a crowd invasion. And there's two guys came on that I went and said, look, get off, because you're going to get Liverpool Football Club into trouble. And one of them just looked me straight in the eye and said, Al, there's people dying in there. I don't think it was really until we went upstairs and saw our wives that, you know, it really sunk in that people had died.
Away to the left, the corner flag. I see for the last 10 minutes a nurse has what I think been giving a kiss of life to one young fan who looks in deep distress. There must be at least another 20 or 30 lying on the ground calling for assistance.
You know, I'm sure everyone was wondering, did they know anyone who was at the game? And then obviously, you know, going to bed that night and thinking about it, lying there in bed and, you know, praying, if you like, and keeping your fingers crossed that, you know, it didn't get any worse to what we'd already heard. And unfortunately for myself and my family, we got the dreaded knock the next morning to say that, you know, a member of the family was at the game and had been tragically killed.
We've got medical teams, oxygen cylinders, a team of fire brigade officers as well to break down the fence at one end to make it easier for the ambulances to get through. We have bodies lying everywhere on the pitch. We're still waiting for confirmation and clearly it will come shortly.
The voice of commentator Peter Jones, and earlier you heard people like Alan Hansen and Steven Gerrard, current Liverpool star, in that compilation. On the line now, as you know, a memorial service, by the way, taking place in Liverpool today, and there is an ongoing inquest into the 96 deaths. On the line now, Ray Houghton. Good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning.
What memories does this day bring back to you? Your own thoughts, I suppose, about that particularly awful day?
Well, very emotional memories, very sad memories, of course, and very vivid ones. You know, I can remember being on the pitch when one of the Liverpool fans came on and said, there's people dying in there. That was his first words to me. And my first reaction and my only reaction was that, you know, some supporters from the opposition had got into the Liverpool end and there was trouble in there. And it wasn't until sometime afterwards when we were in the players' lounge and the TV was on that we actually seen the full extent of the tragedy.
So at what point were you brought off the pitch?
It was about 6 minutes into the game. And what happened was the referee, Ray Lewis, obviously knew that something had gone wrong, decided for the safety of the players that he needed to take them off. We went to the changing room. We were sitting down in there. And then within a matter of a couple of minutes, Mr. Lewis came in, said to the players, keep yourself limbered up. Chances are we're going to go back on very soon. The lads did duly that. And then after about 10, 15 minutes, nothing happened. The referee hadn't come in. We hadn't been told anything else. And then Kenny was asked to go to an area with Brian Clough to make a tannoy announcement to the fan. And that was when we knew that something seriously had happened. And it was only sometime afterwards that we heard about fatalities. And but like what Stephen just heard Stephen Gerrard say, you know, first it was like there was five fatalities and then it just was increasing by the hour.
You and many of the other players spent a lot of time with the families in Anfield and also going to the funerals. What was that like?
Well, at the time, we didn't know exactly what we were doing. You know, it was just something that Kenny had wanted to do, to open up Anfield to anyone who wanted to come down, you know. And he started off with a few family and friends, and as the week went on, it snowballed on to, there was quite a few. Then the wives and the girlfriends and others from our immediate family were coming down to, you know, speak to family of the bereaved, and really just be someone to listen to them, you know. And majority of the time they were talking about stories of Liverpool games, you know, what had happened in previous matches, you know, how we'd won games, how we'd lost games, how they would come home, the family would come home and tell them, you know, that they should have played that player, that player made that mistake. And really at that time, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing. It was obviously very confusing and very emotional. And obviously they started to have the funerals, which was attended to by at least one, two players for every funeral.
Understandably, the main focus was on the victims and on their families. But what about the impact on the players themselves? You must have been collectively and individually traumatised.
Well, if someone had said to me at that stage, the season was over with, you were not going to play another game, I think I would have been very thankful. I didn't want to play on at that stage. It was only a couple of weeks later that, you know, we got back into training. But, you know, the season's a blur after that, to be honest. I mean, it didn't really mean anything as such, apart from the final. You know, we got to the FA Cup final and we played Everton, and really it was the city of Liverpool coming together that day. And that's the only thing I really remember. I'm trying to do our best for, you know, the 96 who had lost their lives. I think it was about 93 at that stage. But it was a traumatic time for everyone concerned. From the players' point of view, you know, at times you've got to try to be as professional as you can, but I didn't have any stomach for playing football at that stage.
How long did it take you and the others in the team and in the club before you could focus fully on playing football again?
It probably was the season, the next season. I mean, I couldn't really. I mean, I remember playing in the games. Was there any joy in them games? Absolutely not. You know, did they have a meaning? Yes, I say only the final itself had a meaning for me, because you wanted to do well for the families that were coming to the game that day, but nothing else.
And I suppose,
you know, football was yours and important at that stage.
What made it a lot worse was some of the reporting that blamed the fans themselves for this great tragedy.
Yeah, that is the case. But you know what? We don't hear about the heroic stories, what happened that day. We still haven't, and there's been no recognition to the Liverpool fans. I went to a funeral of a fireman who his instincts took over, who was actually in the Lepins Lane and got himself out, went back in to help others, and unfortunately got cut up in the crush. I don't know if it was the second or the third time he'd gone back in to help people. So these people have not been recognised for their efforts and their heroic efforts on the day. We see sportsmen in England getting knighthoods for doing their job as sportsmen. You know, ladies getting, they're becoming dames and whatever, and we don't hear about the recognition, and haven't heard any recognition in 25 years for heroic work that was done by Liverpool fans, breaking up holdings on the side of the pitch to make stretchers to carry the injured, and in some cases the dead. Don't hear about that. That's never been mentioned. I think it's an absolute disgrace.
What will you be doing yourself this afternoon just after 3 o'clock, Ray?
As I've done for the last few years, I'll be in a room in the house on my own, watching the TV with a lump in my throat and a TMI, particularly when I hear the 96 names being read out. People who went to watch a sporting event and should never have lost their lives.
There was a piece in the Financial Times yesterday that said Hillsborough was a catalyst which led to the transformation of British football. Would you say the football culture is totally different now to what existed in 1989?
Well, I'm sure it is, but also, though, should it have taken the tragedy to make the change? You know, that's the long and the short of it. Should have taken 96 people to lose their life to change what everyone would have said at that time was wrong in football. Yeah, there was a few mindless idiots around, but did we really need to put fencing up for people to, you know, to go to a sporting event to watch football matches? My wife was there that day behind the fence. My brother was there that day behind the fence, as a lot of my friends. And I've got a lot of anger. I had a lot of anger that day when I seen it on the TV, and I've still got a lot of anger now about it. Absolutely ludicrous how we treated fans back in that time.
Against that background, I suppose trophies pale into insignificance. Nonetheless, there is the emerging fact that Liverpool look like they're going to win the Premier League for the first time in many years this year. Will that somehow be a healing moment, do you think, as well?
Well, if it is, then I'll be delighted with it. If it gives a crumb of comfort to the, you know, the families who've lost loved ones, and they get any sort of joy out of it, I'll be delighted. I've got to say, there's a vibrancy in the city of Liverpool at the moment, you know, because of Everton doing so well, Liverpool doing so well. You know, there's a real feel-good factor. And I'm sure even today, with all the emotion and all the sadness, there'll also be a lot of talk about Liverpool and how well they can do in the Barclays Premier League this season. There's no doubt about that. That's the humour that Liverpool fans bring. And that's what happened back 25 years ago when we were sitting, you know, talking to, you know, the family of the bereaved. They still wanted to talk about their beloved club. And I think it will be the same today.
Ray, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Ray Houghton on the line there. And on the other line now, Paddy Shannon, Chief Features Writer with the Liverpool Echo. Paddy, good morning to you and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Sean.
Obviously, emotions, even 25 years on, run very deep. Stephen Gerrard, we heard a clip from there talking about the knock on the door, the Cnogger and Doris, as we'd say in the Irish language. He was crying last Sunday, I suppose, with the emotion of it all.
That's right. I mean, the attention's obviously on the anniversaries, but got to remember this was something which stopped this city in its tracks 25 years ago, and it's something that people like Stephen Gerrard, who was directly affected with his cousin dying, and so many other people in Liverpool, survivors who were traumatised, all the bereaved families, they've lived with this for every day for 25 years. So it always gets, obviously, there's far more focus around the big anniversaries. There was 30,000 there 5 years ago for the 20th anniversary when Andy Burnham spoke, and he'll be there again today speaking at this event. And it all comes together, the city comes together, and you can almost sort of touch, you know, the sense of solidarity there is at this time of year when, you know, Evertonians, Liverpoolians come together and remember the 96.
And what about this afternoon? Clearly, I suppose just after 3 o'clock, it's going to be a very special moment.
It will be, and like I mentioned, something Ray said then, it was spot on, that I've been to services, had the privilege of actually doing a reading at a service in 2005, and the moment every year which is the most moving moment of the service is when the names of the 96 victims are read out. People often say it really hits home because it just takes so long to read out all the names of the people who died, and you know, you just look at their ages and you know, think that their lives stopped that day and what their families have missed out on since then. It is truly shocking, and you know, it will be an extremely moving event, as it always is, but perhaps even more so today with it being such a massive anniversary of 25 years.
Kenny Dalglish mentioned there by Ray, he went to as many of the funerals as he could. Now, this all, of course, happened in the days before instant news, before the internet. Where were you yourself? You weren't actually at that game, you were at another one.
Ray mentioned the final there with Everton. I was at the other semi-final, and it's very true what people say about it. It'd be very different today, the reaction to it, because I was on a terrace at Villa Park watching Everton, and we had no knowledge of what was going on at all, whether the authorities at Villa Park wanted it that way in case they were scared of what might happen. But there was I think the only announcement on a scoreboard was that the Liverpool game had been delayed. So I remember we left the ground obviously jubilant that we'd beaten Norwich 1-0 away, we're going to the cup final, and they were wondering who we're going to play at Wembley. Would it be Liverpool or Nottingham Forest? One of us said, oh well, the game's been delayed there for some reason, traffic problems no doubt, so we could be able to listen to the match commentary there with Peter Jones on Radio 2 on the way back. And I remember walking past a newspaper billboard, it must have been the Birmingham local paper, and it said, I think it was 72 then, 72 confirmed dead in stadium disaster. Now, I just totally assumed that this probably something happening thousands of miles away with no impact on our lives. And we got in the car, put the radio on, and then just listened dumbfounded to what was happening at Hillsborough, and drove home in total silence and got to a city, Liverpool, which was just totally and utterly quiet. And it was eerie, and it was just such a terrible, terrible time.
Paddy, thank you very much indeed for those recollections. Paddy Shannon, Chief Features Writer with the Liverpool Echo. Thanks for that, of course. It's a story that continues. The original verdicts in the inquests were quashed. Fresh inquests now taking place and likely to go on until the end of this year.